Blog Talk Radio.
For life. Thank you so much for tuning in today. It's a hot one, and I guarantee you that this show is going to be no less hot. My special guest today is a regular on Juwanza for Life, and I'm so very fortunate that our brother has agreed to be a regular on Juwanza for Life. We're talking about Bazi astrology. That's right. You know when I say Bazi astrology, who I'm talking about. That's right. Our brother, Sanu Pera, is back, everybody, and it seems like much longer than it's been. We've been waiting for this show. I was talking with Akuya Chef Nater today, and we were like, wow, it seems like it's been longer than a month. That's how much we enjoy speaking with our brother, Sanu Pera. And for those of you who are new to Juwanza for Life and you've never heard of Sanu Pera, well, after today's show, you're not going to be able to forget him. So let me give you a little bit of background on our brother. Sanu Pera has been studying astrology and spiritual science under the tutelage of Shechem Meshechem Ra-Un-Nefer Amen for over 20 years and has earned the credentials as a certified Bazi instructor and analyzer as certified by Dr. Amen. Sanu Pera has taught Bazi seminars and workshops throughout the United States and conducts Bazi consultations all over the world. He has developed courses and training content for the Tawi Network in the effort to introduce this phenomenal system to the world at large. So I want to move out of the way because, as it's been advertised, this show is about Bazi and relationships. Can Bazi astrology help me find my soulmate? That's right. You heard me. Can Bazi astrology help me find my soulmate? Now, without further ado, let me get to my guest, Brother Sanu Pera. It seems like it's been longer than a month, my brother. Been waiting for this show. Welcome back to Juwanza for Life. It's good to hear you, my brother.
Oh, peace and blessings, peace and blessings. I thought I was the only one who had that sentiment.
We've been waiting
always
for this.
Always a blessing
one,
to be a part of your show.
So much. Again, as stated, we're going to be talking about Bazi astrology and relationships. Relationships is a topic that's always a hot topic because either you're in a relationship or you want to be in a relationship or you just got out of a relationship. But, you know, it's always a very, very hot topic because everybody, we're talking about love relationships primarily, and everybody wants love, needs love. You know, and songs have been written about love, songs have been written about relationships. So we're going to be talking about how Bazi relates to relationships. What does Bazi, when we're talking about relationships, how Bazi can help us to find our soulmate if we have not found that. So again, I can't wait to see how this interview is going to unfold because I know that to all of the listeners, you're in for a treat today. And for all of the listeners online, let me give you the call-in number because you may want to ask questions and make comments. The call-in number to the studio is 347-324-5727. Again, that's 347-324-5727. And if you're already listening on by phone, all you have to do is press 1, and then I can bring you on and you can make your comment or ask your question. Okay. Brother Sanu Pera, let's get the show on the road. Bazi astrology and relationships. Wow. Again, as stated, relationships are a hot topic. Everybody's either in one, wants to be one, or just got out of one. Let's talk about relationships today, my brother. How does Bazi, or can Bazi, help an individual in their relationships, or even as it relates to that ongoing search that everybody has to find their soulmate?
Well, it's a phenomenal question. It's a phenomenal topic. And it's a great show to really clear up because, as you mentioned, relationships play a key role for all of us. And it's important to state that relationships does not just apply to, you know, our social experience as it pertains to relating to someone and, you know, and finding a mate. But it will also apply to our partnerships. It will apply to our businesses because, you know, those involve relationships. It involves anyone that we have to relate to, our children, etc. But, you know, the one, the topic that will get our attention is who we relate to, because that, you know, that is something that, you know, everyone wants to figure out, you know, how to find the one that they're supposed to be with. And everyone wants to know how to make that experience as fulfilling as possible. And so Bazi and astrology systems in general always come into play because, you know, I constantly get people who ask the question, you know, I'm looking to get into a relationship. How can I find my soulmate? And it caused me to really reflect on it, and we took a while before, you know, really putting out a service that focused on relationships because people come with their own expectations. So I wanted to take a moment to kind of, you know, have a discourse with your audience about relationships as it pertains to an astrology system like Bazi. I'm going to ask, well, what does an astrology system that deals with energy, how does it deal with relationships? Well, when most of us think about soulmates, so if you were to try to go to a reputable dictionary or source on the word, you know, it always describes a kind of situation where there's some sort of either affinity between you and someone else, some compatibility, you know, some sort of kind of common, you know, values or ideas, you know, someone who, you know, knows you inside and out, you complete their thoughts, they complete your thoughts. You know, we have all of these kind of ideas when it comes to relationships. And there's a part of astrology that really can articulate compatibility from an energy standpoint, you know.
Okay.
Even before we get to something like an astrology system, the street has sayings like, you know, opposites attract. And all of these kind of sayings and statements and ideas related to the concept of a relationship, someone that we're relating to, and trying to find someone that we are compatibility with. But I'm sorry to say, but these are ideas that are very misleading and in many ways can devastate our attempts to achieve that very same goal. Because there are oftentimes that the one that we're supposed to be with may not be the one who we are an energetic match with. And even the one that we're an energetic match with, you know, may come packaged with a bunch of life lessons. I mean, let's account for it. Let's look at it, right? Many people in the audience can attest to being with someone who, you know, they had a good vibe with, someone who, you know, almost immediately you meet the person and you get a good vibe from them. You feel good. You know, the conversation is good. Something about them, you just like them. And there are many of us can attest to having that kind of an experience and moving forward in some sort of capacity in a relationship with that person, whether it was conjugal or not, and realizing down the road that despite having that quote-unquote chemistry,
mm-hmm.
that there were other things that affected the success of the relationship. People have different attitudes and morals. People had different value systems that contributed to the success of their relationship despite having, quote-unquote, great chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
There are many of us that can attest to having an experience with someone who we had that, quote-unquote, compatibility, whether it was a feeling or it's just that when you got together, things, quote-unquote, clicked. And yet the more closer you got to the person, the more you got to know the person, the more intimate you became with the person in closeness, the more challenges surfaced just the same.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something to really understand about relationships in general, because there are things that an astrology system like Bazi can deliver to us, can give insight to us about our relationship that will be great to know, especially in advance. And we must give credit to the astrology systems to be able to articulate to us information about someone we're choosing to invest a lot of time and energy in our life with. But at the same time, the information that Bazi will give us is not designed to necessarily guide us in who we get into a relationship with or not. It's more so to help us to gain insight into that relationship. And I'd like to get some information to kind of give us an idea of what that looks like. So if I have a relationship with somebody, it's first of all, it's important to understand that there really isn't such a thing as a relationship. The relationship itself, there's no entity called a relationship. There are people who are relating to each other. There are people who are in a relationship. That was told to me by a wise man, and the wisdom is quite devastating. Because whether I'm in a business partnership or a conjugal relationship, I'm dealing with two people. And the quality, value, and success of that relationship is really about what each of those two entities are bringing to the relationship. If
mm-hmm.
person A and person B come together, whether it is to start a family or to start a business, they're going to come to that relationship with a set of resources, skills, strengths and weaknesses, talents and liabilities. And if that combination of these different, you know, energy assets that contributes to how they perform in a relationship. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
So the relationship is about, well, what is about, from Bazi's standpoint, the concept is really about understanding what is it that the person I'm considering to build a family with, what is it that the person I'm considering to start a business with, what is it that I'm considering as my friend, what are the assets and liabilities that they're going to bring to the table when they relate to me?
Mm-hmm.
And that is the name of the game when it comes to an astrology system. And Bazi is deadly accurate, stating in great detail what it is that you can expect in your relationships with others, as well as the timing for the opportunities that will come about. So on one hand, we have the concept of compatibility, which is one of the most misleading concepts, because that concept is a way for us to try to understand who is it that I am energetically compatible to? Who is mm-hmm. it that I have the chemistry with? Who is it that I have the affinity to and has the most complementary type of nature to our energies? That's really what we're saying. When we talk about chemistry, which people spend thousands of dollars to try to get chemistry, I know in our business sector and our private sector, there are many corporations who spend a good penny to make sure that the executives that they hire and spend a lot of money on have what we call chemistry. If anyone has spoken spoken or listened to or participated in any kind of sports or athletic endeavor, you can tell that team chemistry has always been a topic that can sometimes derail some of the best laid plans. So a lot of people focus on this chemistry. You know, I want to have somebody that I'm compatible with. And what's devastating about that concept is little do we know that we're really saying, I want to have somebody that I have the least challenges with. It's implied in the concept of pursuing a relationship where I have chemistry, compatibility. What's implied is I don't want drama.
That's true.
I don't want drama because drama is a pain. That's how we associate. Drama is challenge. Mm-hmm. It's adversity. And people have not been educated properly on how to look at adversity, even though it's unavoidable. So a lot of us have gotten into relationships. The chemistry is there, but other factors weren't. And we made a decision maybe based on chemistry, and how can anything that you can evaluate instantly when you first meet somebody, within an hour of meeting somebody, how can that ever be a sole and major influencing criteria in getting into a relationship? I mean, if you think about it, many people can attach, as I said earlier, to experiences with someone who they had great chemistry with, who as soon as they met the person, their body did all kind of gymnastics and all kind of butterflies were floating, and every time you spoke, the person completed your sentences, and the conversation was just great, and all of that kind of stuff. And then the closer and closer you got to know them, the more the drama became clear and apparent.
Mm-hmm.
Because
that's true.
There are other factors that play themselves out in our relationships. So,
let's say you take a person who is clear that, okay, chemistry isn't everything, that they're very clear that, okay, there's a bigger picture here than the fact that, you know, this person completes my sentences. When I'm around this person, my body does gymnastics. It's, you know, I'm looking at a much bigger picture here. And I involve myself with someone who, let's say, the chemistry, quote unquote, might not be like the chemistry with another person, but I see the bigger picture. And I know that this person and whatever, quote, challenges, end quote, present themselves are for my better good, my evolution on this planet, and my evolving into a divine being, or, you know, a consciously divine being. But then when the challenges do come, as we know that they will, or shall we say opportunities do come as we know that they will, then wouldn't it be easier for that individual who's seeing the big picture and is with someone that might not necessarily, that there might not be compatible with on the surface, but they're looking at the big picture, and they know that this person is in my life because I'm trying to evolve, and that's their reason for being here. They're helping me through whatever it is that we need to experience together. Wouldn't it be easier for that person to gravitate towards someone who they do, quote, click, end quote, with? Because you have a lot of people, for example, that have emotional affairs. You have a lot of people that might be in marriages that might have relationships with people on the job, okay? And it might not necessarily be a sexual relationship. It might be just they might go to lunch together every day, you know? And there's people out there that know what I'm talking about, okay? They might go to lunch with this every day, you know? They might have never been physically intimate with this person, but because when they're with this person, their hair down. As a matter of fact, they may feel so close to this person on the job that this brother or sister on the job knows more about the mate at home than the mate at home would feel comfortable with. And there, again, are people out there that know what I'm talking about. So how do you know that, for example, this person is, you're with this person, and the compatibility on the surface might not be there, But then doesn't that open you up? And I'm asking some questions that are rhetorical, but doesn't that open you up to connect with or gravitate towards someone who you are compatible with, who does make your body do flip-flops, who does complete your sentences?
I'm so glad that you're posing the question this way, my brother, because it really raises the question of what role does compatibility and chemistry play in the, our decisions to relate to someone, to enter a family,
okay,
especially long-term relationships with. And I would have to say that we have a wide enough audience to have an experience where they came across somebody, maybe somebody who today is their best friend, maybe who today they celebrated 10, 15, 20-year anniversaries with, who they were not compatible with, who when they first met them, this was not their quote-unquote type.
Mm-hmm.
Or who, you know, responded and said things in a way that was quirky and different. But as they grew to know the person, they had values and qualities that endeared them, and their appreciation nurtured love far beyond maybe others in their past where they had that chemistry. Again,
mm-hmm,
you got to look at your experience to see the wisdom of how we approached these systems thousands of years ago, because, you know, you can have somebody that you, quote-unquote, don't have that chemistry with, but they're really a great person.
True.
Like I said, many of us have friends. I can personally attest to some of my best friends who are people that I did not have that chemistry with. I have
By the way,
many
this
exes
one...
who I have the perfect chemistry with. And
this
I have
new
people
variety,
who...
Yep, I just wanted to say, brother, you're kind of breaking up a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry. How am I doing now? Can you hear me?
Better, yes.
Yeah,
you were still breaking up a little bit, but we'll hello.
Okay.
Okay, that's
so
fine.
I'm saying that there are experiences that we have where we can be in a situation with somebody who we didn't have the quote-unquote best chemistry with, but as we grew to know the person, they had qualities and values that were important beyond just chemistry. And the more we got to know that person, the more we realized just how valuable they were, either as a mate or as a friend or a business partner or someone. There are people
mm-hmm.
that we don't get along with the best, people who we don't have the best vibe with and chemistry with, and yet they have shown themselves to be great friends because there are things beyond chemistry that influence the success of our relationship. So the contrary, and I apologize for the noise in the background, I'm in the streets of New York, and those can be some of the noisiest streets. But we can
I'm
also
sure.
attest to people to this day, you know, find new creative ways to step on our toes every day and take advantage of us and do things that we just really wouldn't appreciate, etc. I mean, how many people have gotten into relationships over chemistry and regret it? So
mm-hmm.
my position and my assertion into this conversation is to not look at Bonzi as a tool to see if I'm compatible with someone as a decision-making factor. You know, what we don't want is
yeah.
people coming to an astrologer to say, you know, I met this great guy, you know, he's got a great job, but let me check out his astrology to see if we're going to be compatible, to see if this is a guy I want to give a chance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want to look at astrology for those kind of answers. There are other tools that better equip us with the information we need to make decisions about a person because, you know, people go through cycles. You can have a person who you have a great vibe with, but that energetic rapport that you build with somebody is not going to tell you how they're going to respond to challenge. It's not going to tell you the kind of values and morals and ethics that they bring to the table. You have people with great chemistry and horrible value systems, great chemistry and horrible upbringing, and horrible intelligence. Their cognitive shortcomings are one that you're going to reap the consequences of, whether they're a business partner or a mate, over and over and over again. But where the body astrology system is phenomenal is giving you insight so that you can understand each other that much better. Let me give you an example. If I, you know, once I get close to somebody, anybody, a business partner, a mate, etc., you start to see the patterns and tendencies and how they function for better or for worse. And wouldn't it be a wonderful idea to know what are the assets and liabilities that your mate brings to the table so that you can understand them better and help them better? Would that have value to the audience? If you knew your mate, if you knew from day one, up front, in great detail, the kind of challenges your mate will have, the kind of deficiencies they would have, the tendencies they would have, what is the underlying drivers for their way of performing in that relationship, would you want to know that in advance so that you can know, number one, what you're getting into, and number two, how you can help them? See, that to me has great value. Wouldn't you want to know when your opportunities to attract the right persons to you, when those opportunities will come, because they are cycles. There are cycles, whether you're in a relationship or not, that you're going to attract people more than others. We call them peach blossom cycles. You can come to a Bazi astrologer and find out when is your peach blossom cycle, or when is your cycle to really heighten and enhance the ability to attract a mate. And many people have been able to attest through that advanced prediction and organize their attention around finding their relationship. Because a lot of times people miss out on the opportunity that presents them. Not everybody has the kind of energy configuration where they're just the automatic mate magnet. Some of us got that, and that can be a gift and a curse. Some of us got that permanent mate magnetism where wherever we go, you know, we're going to attract people, and that has its own inherent challenges. But for the rest of us, it would be nice to know, look, when should I put my ambitions for business to the side and prioritize, you know, focusing on my relationship opportunities that present themselves? Because that relationship opportunity is cyclical and can be predicted with great accuracy with an astrology system. And what we do is, without that insight and knowledge, the mate opportunity is there. They're knocking on the door, but we're over here focused on trying to make a dollar. Or we're over there trying to focus on getting our, you know, our school and education together. Or we're over here helping family out, and this mate is there knocking on the door, and we didn't realize, no, this is the window of opportunity to take advantage of. Or contrary,
well, what happens if you take that? What happens, excuse me, what happens if somebody has, that window has passed, okay, they should have been, you know, they're in their, they missed their peach blossom window of opportunity to attract a suitable, or I don't even want to use the word, you know, struck the word compatibility from my vocabulary. They missed that window of opportunity, and now let's say they were focusing on business, building their business, when they should have been focusing on, or could have been focusing on, you know, attracting a mate. And now that time, that window has gone, that cycle has passed. So now I can hear, because I know somebody has this question out there, so I'm asking it for you. So what then do they do if they get their chart done and they're like, oh, man, I missed my opportunity 5 years ago. I don't know when it's coming again. How do they configure their energy? Or can they configure their energy through different exercises, be it Qigong or whatever, to attract that, or to have their energy in such a state of receptivity that they can receive and still be successful in attracting their, quote, soulmate, end quote?
Well, the answer is almost implied in the question, but we have a saying in the astrology community that the wise man rules his stars, the inferior man is ruled by his stars. Meaning there are different phases in our life, there's different levels that we go to, and in the beginning, we look to and rely on the information from our astrology, and if the cycle passes, it passes, but then every single man, woman, and child has their divinity. And the fundamental expression of that divinity is the ability to manifest what is needed. At some point, if the cycle is there for you to ride and you ride that cycle, by all means, do so. Hey, I mean, if I'm trying to go down and there's a wave that goes down, it would be smart and intelligent for me to ride it. But if that wave has passed and I know I still need to go down, then I have my divinity. And the divinity is a way of, is a systematic way of knowing how you can cultivate what you need to attract to you what you need. There are many people who, you know, their energy is organized in such a manner where they might, if they had to rely just on energy alone and the cycles that it produces, they'd have to wait 20 years to have another opportunity to come around to attract the opportunities for mate and partnerships and relationships. But wouldn't it be nice to know that at any moment, anyone in the audience can rely on their divinity to give them that information and to attract them? That there's something that, because everything that you're manipulating, working with the energy, exists in your own DNA, exists in your own energy makeup. Whatever is outside of you exists inside of you, which is why we can do Qigong, meaning energy cultivation, to bring about the condition to attract my mate. If Vazi tells me that there's a specific energy that is responsible for attracting my mate, and it's going to be another 2-3 years for that cycle to come around, I can cultivate that energy inside of me to do what it needs to do. And that's the beauty of divinity as it pertains to a science like that. As a matter of fact, it's something that we talk about a lot on this segment that we're doing here together, and it's something that is lost to astrology in general. There's no general understanding of the role of divinity as it becomes to systems like this. So a lot of people are approaching astrology, they're approaching Bazi like, help me to get these answers for things that are going to happen that I have no control over, no influence over, and that is what has devastated the astrology community. That is one of the things that has taken what has been a phenomenal system that used to be a core skill set that everyone was taught and educated into to now being something that's a couple of pages on the funnies in a newspaper. I mean, it's mind-boggling. Imagine mathematics, something that every person is taught as a core part of their skill set. You know, if you were 26 years old and couldn't add or subtract, everyone would look at you a little funny these days. But imagine something like mathematics with the greatness that it has been able to help us with our buildings and our physics and our sciences, etc. Imagine it. Mathematical formulas being relegated to 2 pages on a newspaper. And that's what's happening with astrology. Astrology, except for some communities that have really continued to, you know, integrate it, like billionaires, there are many billionaires who, quiet as it's kept, they have their personal astrologer on tap. They have their personal, you know, many presidents use astrology in managing their campaigns. You know, there's a lot of the quiet as it's kept, a lot of very influential, powerful, affluent communities that have kept the secrets and value of astrology to themselves. But the reason why us, the masses, have not awakened to this is because the ingredient, one of the major ingredients for these systems, was taken out. You see, that ingredient of our divinity, that ingredient of gaining insight into the keys and dynamics of how our energy is aligned and where our energy needs to be put into balance, that we may be able to express our divinity higher, was taken out of astrology. It was taken out of these systems and just focused on the mechanical dynamics of the astrology and the planets and the alignments and the configurations. And we got so caught up in, oh, these alignments and configuration, and if I have this star and this position and this house, this is going to happen and that's going to happen, that we forgot to know thyself. These were systems to help us to know thyself, not to figure out who we're compatible with, to figure out who we have chemistry with. What does a divine being who can manifest anything with anybody have to be concerned with compatibility? If I don't vibe with you very well, but I see that you have great values, that you're moral, hardworking, dependable, reliable, and so on, then I must build fellowship with you, regardless of the vibe. If you're a trustworthy person that I don't vibe with, would I trust, would I entrust my bank account numbers to you or to some person I have chemistry with that I can't close my eyes and blink on? You see that? So the divine, the divinity is a major ingredient in all of this, because if I can't, if I don't know, is it good to know when those cycles of opportunity come? Yes. But if it's not there, I have my divinity to lean on. Is it not good to know where we are going to relate to each other well or not? Yes. But not to figure out if we're going to enter a relationship. It's so that we can gain insight and prepare and cultivate ourselves for who we're going to spend a lot of time with. Because I tell you, when you build a relationship with someone, you know, this whole notion of divorce has got this skewed, but you try to make a commitment for life, you know. Nobody's trying to build up a bunch of ex-wives and a bunch of child supports. No, you got to hook up with someone to build a foundation for family and a unit that will stand the test of time. So it's great to be able to have advanced knowledge, to be able to understand your partner, your business partner, or your quote-unquote, it's great to be able to understand that.
All right, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, I was on a roll. I'm sorry. Go ahead, my brother.
I'm going to ask you this, because there are a lot of people that have gotten married early. You might have people that have gotten married. Some people have gotten married right out of high school. Some people, you know, they fall in love in high school. They have their high school sweetheart. They get married immediately following that. Or you might have people that got married because somebody got pregnant and, you know, so they decided, okay, well, we'll get married. And this might take place in their early 20s. Okay, now, of course, and they make these vows, of course, you know, I'm going to love you forever and so forth. But you take somebody in their 20s and in your 20s could live to be 100. You may not have, well, not may not have, you have not met everybody that you're going to meet in your life. So when you say, I'll love you forever, I'll never leave you, those vows could be very, you could be very honest when you say that. You could absolutely mean that when you say that. But you haven't met everybody that you're going to meet. So you can meet this person and say, oh, you're the most wonderful person I've ever met. Well, yeah, up until that point in your life, that's true. They are the most wonderful person that you've ever met. But the next day, next week, next month, couple of years later or whatever, or 5, 6 years into the marriage, you might meet somebody that is the most remarkable person that you've met, but you're married, you know. And so what would you say to people, for example, who find themselves in a situation like that, and let's say this remarkable person comes along, would you suggest or say that that person was possibly a part of their destiny? Because when we think about destiny and the people that come and go in our life, we don't know who's coming. We don't oftentimes know who's going. Okay, so again, you might have somebody say, oh, I love you forever, but it might, would you say it could be in their destiny that they meet this remarkable person that, you know, I mean, it's nothing against being faithful. I'm not, you know, saying that they shouldn't be faithful. I'm just trying to get a Bazi perspective on this, because this is real. This is, a lot of times people end up in having affairs, you know, wishing that they hadn't done it. This person came into their life. They were so irresistible. And some people end up having an affair and don't know why. They can honestly say, I don't know what it was about that person that attracted me to that person. So it's, What role does destiny even play in our life as it relates to our relationships? Because there are a lot of people out there that have broken up over infidelity because somebody was attracted to somebody else. And would you say that that other person was a part of their destiny? I'll give you an example. I remember one time I was talking to a brother. I was taking out the trash, okay? I was in the alley. And his brother just came down the alley, and he was talking to me. He shared. He said, "Brother, I just need to talk to somebody." He says, "You know, I don't know you. I feel comfortable talking to you." I'm like, "Okay, what's going on, bro?" He says to me that he had a wife that he loved very dearly. He said, "Bro, I love this woman so much, I didn't even want this woman to work. All I wanted her to do was just stay home, paint her toenails, and look pretty." He was a police officer. He said, "But down at the station, there was this young girl, and she just kept messing with me." He said she was 18 years old, okay, and she just kept messing with me. He said, "I told her I was married. I kept telling her, no. I'm married. I love my wife. No. He said, "But she just kept messing with me, and one day I made the mistake and I slept with her." He said, "Now, she got pregnant." He said, "I only slept with this girl one time and she got pregnant." He said, "Now, my beautiful queen that I love so much is gone and I'm stuck with this girl." She got pregnant, had a son. He said she wouldn't get rid of the baby. He said, "Now I'm stuck with this girl for the next 18 years. Now, of course, some would say, "Well, the child had to be here. That might have been part of the destiny." What would you say to a situation like that? Okay, this is something that a lot of people out there listening can relate to. Was that destiny that this little boy had to be here? So, and if the boy had to be here, was it destiny that he meet this girl on the job, this girl who kept messing with him?
But that's a very good question, and I'm going to take my time with it because you said a lot that is very impolite on a show like this. And on one level, to kind of backdoor into the answer to your question, I just want to say that it's very important for us to consider our education for how we enter relationships and how we perform in them. You know, no one here would go to a doctor and entrust their health and healing to a doctor if they discovered that that doctor never went to school. Because it's understood that, you know, this is something that requires performance as a doctor requires education. Nobody would ride in a car by a mechanic who, you know, they discovered never really went to school, never educated themselves properly in how on the science of and mechanics of a car, because it's understood that, you know, it requires education to perform properly. And yet many of us with no formal education or education by our ignorant boyfriends and girlfriends and friends and buddies, we enter into these relationships that impact our lives. We're bringing children into the world with basically no education on how to perform. And it's like we're supposed to just inherently know, like reptiles and snakes, that, oh, this is how you're supposed to perform and function. No, I mean, our lives were designed to make us divine beings, so they're more complex than the simplicity of a reptile. We're not a reptile where we're just born and we just inherently know swim for the waters or lay an egg. No, there's a lot more that goes into our relationships. And I would dare say the same thing with parenting. I watch a lot of parents at the park and at the playgrounds, and I sit there thanking God for divinity. And I see so many mistakes that we all make in trying to understand, evaluate our children, that, you know, there needs to be an education there as well. And I would say that the gentleman that you spoke to is not just for the need for relationship education,
mm-hmm.
because he would have known to separate that part of him that can be attracted to somebody from, you know, destiny. Maybe he met some, maybe he was destined to be challenged by this 18-year-old, but I would say that he would look back at that experience and make a different decision, regardless of how many times she nagged him. This is a person who was not educated. You see that? I wouldn't say that the baby he brought into this world was destiny per se, but definitely he could have a destined challenge, meaning a challenge that was helping him to cultivate a part of his spirit. Maybe he was destined to meet his soulmate, and his challenge was not to lose this soulmate by making the wrong decision by someone that his destiny attracted to bring him the lessons he needed. So are there people that we can interact with that are part of our destiny and thereby bring us challenges? Of course. And many of those are genuine, and we have a way of really articulating what are those destined experiences that we go through, where they're not there to be our knight in shining armor, they're there to be our knight in shining challenges to our divinity. That is a reality in life. And we entangle our lives because of errors in our judgment and our cognitive ability and being too reliant on our emotions to make our decisions. I mean, I've had somebody who found a very good man, and they blew the man because, you know, somebody came on to them, and they said, I couldn't help but fall in love with him. Okay. Well, that person needed a different education. And that education is part of what we want to use Bazi to help people with, by giving them instructions on how to understand each other, as opposed to just relying to. See, that's the danger in relying on the thinking, the part of our brain that wants to focus on chemistry in the first place. The part of our brain that wants to focus on chemistry, that wants to focus on how we relate to someone, that wants to focus on a vibe, is the animal part of our being and the animal parts of our brain. And there are parts of our brain that are higher than that, that should and must begin to contribute to these decisions. And that's the whole name of the game here. I mean, you know, people have come to Bazi and gotten great insight by getting insight into, you know, what are the dynamics of how my man functions, what are their strengths and weaknesses, their imbalances, so that they can figure out how can I help this person and how can that person help me. Because what happens to us is we get into these relationships that mate does because they have deficiencies and liabilities and imbalances and the things that we do. And we end up getting into these relationships and trying to change each other and doing a lot of name-calling and criticizing each other instead of understanding that my mate functions this way because of this imbalance. Like I said, there's no relationship. There's no entity called a relationship. There are people that are relating to each other. And once you understand that person, once you have an understanding of why and how they function the way they function, you have a master key to be compassionate. And compassion is a major expression of love. It's a major expression of, you know, loving my fellow brother, my fellow sister, the one, my beloved, to know how they function and therefore to have a master key to help them, to grow them, to help them to balance out. Because by helping them to change their energy and to balance themselves out, it's going to improve their health, it's going to improve their performance, and I am going to benefit from that. That is the real value and role of Bazi with our relationships, is to really help us to gain compassion and understanding of each other so that we can help each other. You know, that toilet seat up all the time, you can know exactly why that person did that and help change their diet, give them herbs, do qigong, meditate together, grow together, And that would be a much more enriching experience in my view.
You know, brother, you should see these phone lines. They are full. And so I don't want to just ask all the questions. I want to give everybody an opportunity. If you're listening by phone, what you have to do is press 1, and that will alert me that you would like to ask a question. If you have a question for Brother Sanupa Ra or you'd like to make a comment, all you have to do is press 1, and I will bring you on board. Brother, this is a fabulous interview, and I'm sure that there are people that are listening that are already becoming compassionate in their thoughts as it relates to their mate, just based on what it is that you just said. Because, you know, when people understand that people are wired a particular way, then it can certainly help with that. But if somebody wants to speak to you, come to you right now. I'm going to call the last 4 digits of your phone number, 6042. I'm sorry, wrong number. Hold on. Okay, 6402. My bad. 6402. You're on the air with Sanupa Ra. Welcome to Juwan.
Yes, Hetepu, everyone. Yes, Hetepu. Yes. Thanks for the show. I'm listening to it and I appreciate it and soaking it in. And happy summer solstice. Yes,
absolutely. Thank you. Where are you calling from?
Alabama. Yes, I'm
okay.
Doing good. Yes, I had a question as far as the Baza. Like, let's say you know somebody that may be interested in getting a chart, but, like, they were born somewhere where it's, like, the time wasn't really, you know, how the time is kind of important with it. Like, do you have the chart rectification service, you know, like with the Baza to find out your times and stuff? Oh, okay.
Yes, you know, rectification is a standard part of almost any astrology system for that very reason. Sometimes we're born at a point of the country where they don't track time properly in their vital statistics. And then we have ways of estimating. Even if a person doesn't want to go through the expensive process of rectification because it can be expensive, a little more expensive than, you know, let's say getting a normal chart because there's a lot of trial and error and analysis that goes into rectifying a chart. Even if they didn't want to go through that process, if they can get it down to a 2 to 4 hour window, sometimes even that is beneficial. We have people who were born and they say, "Well, we were born in the morning time, man." You know, and so you know, morning time gave us a little bit of a window to work with, and many times that will help because for the Bazi system, we have these 2 hour time periods and how the day was divided that will give us a window to work with in getting accuracy on their chart. And even without the hour pillar, you're still going to get about an 80% accuracy to your chart. So if you have someone who you're trying to get their chart or help them to get their chart and they don't know the time of birth, still move forward with it. If they can give a range, if they know they're born in the evening or around second breakfast, you know, we get all kind of different ways people try to narrow it down. You know, some places second breakfast is a reality. I don't know. You know, whatever information they can provide, we'll narrow it down for them. And in that worst case scenario, we have the rectification.
Okay. All right. Appreciate it. And one more question. Like on the Baza chart, the conception and life pillar, what is that about? Because I don't see that a lot of people talking about that or relating that to the chart itself.
That's a very good question. And our approach to the system, we haven't focused on articulating the life and conception concepts, even though it's present in the chart that we provide. The software that we've used up to this point still articulates what binomial is used for the conception and for the life. We have a much more expanded life presentation that we're going to be debuting this upcoming year. We did not articulate that in our books and our fundamentals because once you dug into everything that we presented, it's something that we've been able to use our international platform to verify. We want astrology to be something that we can really rely on for infallible guidance, you know, unshakable, undeniable guidance, verified and proven through our lives. And when we looked at the theory of the conception of life as it's currently presented, we did not find enough evidence to incorporate that into what we teach. Everything that we've presented in this show and in our books and in our upcoming BASI certification course are things that we have thousands of charts all over the world, all different ethnicities that have verified it time and time again. So that is why we have not really articulated the life and conception concepts as you see it on the chart. But don't worry, we have something where we have a key that we're going to debut. I would say it should be ready by next year or so, that is going to be devastatingly powerful and accurate to give you more than what you're getting from the literature for the life and conception parts of your chart. So don't worry, we got some insight, thank God, that's coming to us that we will be revealing soon.
All right, Dwal. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Dwal, thank you, my brother. Really appreciate your time. Thank you for calling in. If anybody else has a question, all you have to do is press 1, and I'll bring you on board. If you have a question, again, for Sanu Parab, we've got a few minutes left, just press 1. Don't miss this opportunity to get your questions answered. Okay, Sanu Parab comes on every third Tuesday of the month, and so it'll be a minute before he comes back. So if you got a question, you've got the brother on here live now. Don't be shy. Just press 1, and I'll bring you on board. For those who are listening online, the phone number to call in is 347-324-5727. That's 347-324-5727. Brother, we've got a few minutes left, and can we talk about, just again, when we're talking about relationships, and we're talking about, again, BASI and relationships, and again, you succinctly stated that there's really no entity such as a relationship, but people, when they get into that, for lack of a better term, quote, end quote, oh, shall I say, when they're relating to one another, one of the things, if we're talking about male-female relationships, or, again, male-female relating, is the word love. A lot of people have their own understanding of what the word love is, what it actually means, their own definition, and how to tell whether or not they're in it or not. Some person might think that they're in love because they can't stop thinking about the person. You know, they think they're in love because every time they hear the person's voice, their heart flutters. So just for the sake of this discussion and putting it in the context of this conversation, what is love?
Well, I'm very glad that you raised that question. And the best way that I have in my studies been able to understand the concept of love is through the Kemetic or Egyptian concept of Ma'at. And Ma'at taught us that love is giving, seeking nothing in return. That's that is articulated in Ma'at as it comes to love. Now, I spent some time looking at that statement, giving, seeking nothing in return. And there's nothing in that statement that implies giving because you make me feel good or giving because I feel this way when you're around. As a matter of fact, there's nothing in the concept of love that has anything to do with feeling at all. Because I can choose to love someone regardless of how I feel, can't I? Mm-hmm. I can have somebody who's very troubled who I, quote, unquote, love. And I think that part of what makes it misleading for us is we have some very poor concepts that exist in our language. Like we say the word in love. Mm-hmm. I'm in love with somebody. We take the concept of love and associate it with things that have no objective reality or no relevance to love at all. Like, you know, like how you feel about somebody. A lot of times people say, I love somebody because there's a certain way that they feel when that person is around, as you mentioned. And, you know, when you do that, when you confuse that concept, then you confuse the fact that you can love anybody. I don't have butterflies when my father is around, but I know I love my father.
Right.
I know that I can have a business partner that I love and have it have nothing to do with the arousal of my tissues or the stimulation of my body. You know, the physical emotion has nothing to do with the concept of love. And I think this is something that we have to really clarify and clean up because, you know, our ability to fix a lot of what's happening in the world has to be us going back to love and love on a more universal level. You know, I don't have to, you know, when I study the I Ching, there's a hexagram, the 13th hexagram that deals with fellowship with men. And it's one of the concepts that I think that the studying of that hexagram, for those who are familiar with the I Ching and have been studying these spiritual concepts, you know, that might be something to get a little more enrichment from this show. But one of the things that that hexagram shows us is that we have these, our fellowship and our expression of our love and selflessness for each other is oftentimes connected to the warmth of the heart, meaning the person that I relate to, the person in my race, the person that vibes well with me, the person that I share economic status with. All of these are constructs that we use to determine who we express our love to. And the person that I don't understand, the person that is not from, that's from some other part of the country, some other part of the world, or someone that I don't have a vibe with or is not connected to me by blood. You know, all of these are the things that I use to determine who do I really love, who do I really endear myself to. And we'll find that the people that I'm closest to, my beloveds, I cannot really properly love them without really learning to love those who I do not have a connection to the heart with. Meaning, if I can find the common ground and the way and the right way of looking at life that will allow me to love, meaning to give, seeking nothing in return, to be considerate, to look at the view of the whole and look at life from that person's point of view and to do what that person needs, to take care of the environment, to take care of the world, to take care of the earth, and to relate to that person as if they were my family. If I can do that with someone who I don't share blood with, who lives across the world from me, who I might not have the strongest vibe with, I think that if all of us adopted that kind of a mentality and that kind of a skill set, there'll be a lot of problems that are solved. So, I mean, love from the standpoint of our relationships is not about how we feel about each other. It is about our ability to give what is needed. It's an expression of our selflessness. It's an expression of our understanding of how we are all connected. And that concept has its place in relationships, but it has its place in fellowship, which is a much bigger arena for all of us to aspire to, because, you know, there's a lot that we have to do to correct things in this world where we're going to have to break bread and share and work with people of other ethnicities or of other socioeconomic backgrounds or of other cultures. And the more that we can work on our selflessness, that's not going to just help our personal relationships, but it's going to help us in the world. Right now, there's a lot of people who have bought into a lot of, you know, racial and culturally stimulated stereotypes and racisms and things of that nature. And there's a lot of challenges that we are experiencing today as a result of these ignorant ideas. And properly understanding love and taking it out of the realm of our feelings for each other and applying it once more again to how we relate to each other in a selfless manner is a major, major step for us all.
everybody, you're listening to Brother Sanu Parah Keparank. And again, I see the board keeps lighting up. New people keep tuning in. If you have a question or you'd like to make a comment, all you have to do is press 1 and I'll bring you on board. Just press 1 and I'll bring you on board. So then would you suggest then that for somebody to say, for example, as it relates to somebody that they may have been relating to on an intimate level, they may have been married and divorced, if they were to say, for example, oh, I don't love that person anymore. I fell out of love with that person. Would you suggest that they never did love that person?
Well, we have to forgive everyone who uses the concept until we've been properly educated. You know, I can't fault my 3-year-old for not speaking properly about peanut butter cookies if she hasn't been properly educated. We have not been properly educated on what love is and how to express it. So if someone uses that concept and they say, I've fallen in love, I've fallen out of love, I don't love this person, you know, I don't even know if they know the reality behind the words that they're speaking of in the first place. So my answer to that would be that we need to go through a process of being compassionate with each other and educating ourselves on what love is and how we should express it. And that might need to happen in something where we come together and understand the wisdom of our ancestors, the wisdom of those who built great civilizations, to understand how they approached the concept of love and how we can apply that today. So that when we use the word love, we all know what to expect when we use that word. You know, if I know what love is, then I don't have to say to anybody, whether there's somebody who's treating me right or not, that I love or not love you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once I know what that word really is, I can say I love you to my enemy and mm-hmm. obliterate having enemies in the first place. I mean, just the use of the word enemy, just labeling somebody as my enemy just by itself is such a devastating concept, and we might use that word all the time. Oh, my God, I hate this person. Oh, my God, you know, this language is something that, you know, betrays that we haven't fully developed our divinity. And yet love, properly understood, is one of the most powerful forces on the planet. So, again, my statement is if somebody is saying, you know, I don't love, you know, I would say, you know, let's have forgiveness for these people. I'm not going to put a label or judgment on it, but I would say that an education is needed on what that word is that is being used because, you know, most likely when we make statements like that, we are speaking about love in connection to, you know, how you feel when a person does something to you. And a person mm-hmm. is challenged and doing things that I don't like, you might say, I don't love them. And when a person is making you feel good and doing things that you like, you might say you love them. And there we go, putting that love connection with feelings. And that's very devastating to the world because you might not like racism. You might not like when someone says, you know, I don't trust you, I don't like you because you're this race. But it's very much connected to the concept of somebody who says, I don't love you because of how you make me feel.
That's true.
Wow. I don't understand you culturally. I don't understand you racially. And I treat you different. I think that justifies my right to your resources, to your life, to control and affect your how you live and where you live and whether you live or not.
Mm-hmm.
We like to separate that from the person who says, oh, I love you because you make me feel so good. But when you really reflect on it, they're both the same. Now, that's an interesting enigma for us to speak about.
Yeah, I'm chewing on that. I'm chewing on that. That's heavy. And I think that a lot of people, because of that misunderstanding of the word love, there have been a lot of even expectations that, you know, people have when they're coming to the table because of this, their own definition of this word love, because of what has been portrayed in the media as love. You know, we see these movies on television or go to the movies and they show, quote, love, end quote, people, quote, falling in love, end quote, and the things that they do, they're gazing into each other's eyes, and, you know, they've got this, you know, the heart is fluttering, and, you know, this whole Hollywood thing, and, of course, not saying there's nothing wrong with flowers and gazing into somebody's eyes, I'm not saying that, but just the concept and the expectation that comes along with being, quote, in love, end quote, the expectations that you have for your mate, love, if this person, like you mentioned, doesn't make you feel a particular way. And so, you know, I thank you for that breakdown, my brother. Yes. Queen Chef Santier had a question.
Yes, hi. How are you today?
Oh, wonderful, and you, my sister?
I'm doing well. I have a question concerning if you are looking, or if someone is actually wanting to use these techniques to look for a person, an employer is looking to hire someone, or a business person is looking to find a partner, how would you recommend utilizing and incorporating the BOSI techniques in the hiring strategy?
Okay, the most important tool and resource to use in consideration of hiring or entering into partnerships, et cetera, are oracles. Oracles are going to give you insight into the shaping factors that you need to use to make that decision on hiring someone, firing someone, entering into a partnership or relationship with someone. Okay? The oracle is the first tool that you would look to. However, your BOSI is going to shed light on what that oracle reading is talking about that person more in more detail than anything else, unless you're working with a very expert diviner who has gained a lot of experience in the subject matter that you're inquiring about. So if I'm going to hire somebody, what we definitely want is a situation where those CEOs or managers or supervisors who are responsible for hire and fire can incorporate readings into their decision-making to give you insight into who you should hire. And then the BOSI becomes a phenomenal tool in shedding light on that. That BOSI is going to tell you, for example, what are the energy cycles of your executives. You see that? There are some executives who are in, you know, 3, 6, 10-year cycles where the intelligences working through their talents are going to attract a lot of resources to the company or attract a lot of discoveries to the company or have different wealth cycles, 2-year wealth cycles, 10-year wealth cycles that they are a part of. And many businesses have seen that wisdom without necessarily knowing BOSI and just looking into it. You know, you come up to an executive who just has that 10-year knack for finding all of the superstar musicians and artists. And then, you know, they make most of their money within the 6 to 10-year window. And then after that, they kind of, you know, have some hits and misses, but, you know, they ride that 10-year of creativity till the next superstar comes at picking. You know, so part of what we look at is you want a blend of employees, a blend of people in the company that have these diverse cycles of energy that the company would need, and the BOSI will be wonderfully accurate at helping you to identify how that plays into what that reading is saying about a person. Because there are some cases where you might have to hire somebody who may not have that energetic configuration that you would initially want to hire, but down the road, that person, through their cultivation, will be a far more valuable employee than someone else. So rather than have everyone start to just become super astrologers to hire and fire people, that's going to be devastatingly powerful and much better than what we use today. But what we definitely want is a marriage of the use of oracles with the use of astrology for these decisions. I would dare say that if companies adopted on the executive board level and up the expert use of astrology and the expert use of oracles, especially in the African-American community, we'll have a lot more billion-dollar companies because we'll be able to rely on information that goes beyond feelings and hunches to really help us to navigate the decisions that we make in that company and who we hire and how they work together. So just to kind of concretize this for you, the use of oracles with the use of astrology will give you deep insight into the people that you will look to hire and associate your business with that would give you information about them to make decisions that even go beyond their talent. I mean, there are many employees who have great talent, and then we found out too late that they're very untrustworthy. Well, your oracle reading and your body's insight into their energy configuration would have let you know that.
Wow, brother.
Thank you.
This show is so powerful. The phone lines are lit up. And I'm going to give everybody one more chance. If you've got a question, all you have to do is press 1, and I'll bring you on board and you can ask your question. I can certainly appreciate you sitting back and wanting to listen because I'm going to go back and listen to the show again myself. By the way, for those of you who are listening, we have archives. So within a half hour after this show is over, if you know that there's somebody that is not on this call that needs to hear this information, just wait about a half an hour and then share the link with them, and they can actually go back and listen to it again, and you can go back and listen to it again. My special guest is Sanupara Teparank. He comes on every third Tuesday of the month, so write that down, put it on your refrigerator or somewhere where you won't forget, because next week, or not next week, but next month, when he comes back, we'll be talking and discussing another aspect of Bazi astrology. Sanupara, this has been a very, very powerful show. I've learned a lot, and I hope that the listeners have gotten as much out of it as we have. Any final words for our listeners today as it relates to Bazi astrology? Because, again, this is powerful. This is a powerful system, and the way you articulated the answers to the questions was awesome, as I knew that they would be. And, again, to all of the listeners, I want to take a moment and say, Tuau, thank you so much for your time. You could be doing something else, but you decided to tune in to Jawanza for Life. I want to say this before we go, that we've got an archive system that's out of this world. You thought this interview was awesome, and it was. We've got others. We've got interviews with Shechem and Shechem, Ra'un Nefer Amen. It's in the archives. When he was on last, he discussed his book, Stress-Free for Life. That interview is in the archives. When they had the Atefu conference, Yosera said did the Atefu conference for the men, interviewed Orwa Tahuti Kamau. That is in the archives as well. For the last year, we've been interviewing Brother Orwahehi Metura in Comet. We've been discussing the 11 laws of God. As a matter of fact, we've got one law left to go. We are down to the law of Geb. And as soon as this schedule permits, I will be interviewing him again on the law of Geb. So if you want to go back and check out the laws, those are in the archives. Interviewed Shechem Tebraim Sa'ah. He was talking about a vital and healthy brain. That show is in the archives. So you got a lot of food in there. So get your spiritual fork and get ready to get down because those shows are in the archives. And I want to make sure that you're aware of that so you can go back and listen to those shows and get fed. Sanupara, my brother, final words for our listeners today.
Well, first of all, I want to give thanks to my spiritual teacher, Ra'un Nefer Amen the First, Shechem Shechem, for his great wisdom and insight in helping us to restore these great systems so they can nourish us all once more again. If there's anyone in the audience who wants to learn more about Bazi and astrology, we are debuting our certification program where we're going to teach people to do this professionally. You know, all of our professional careers can gain benefit from adding professional astrologer to your credentials. Right now you use mathematics, you use your education, you use your talents, but we'd like everyone to add certification in Bazi to enhancing their skill sets. It's a very competitive market out there. The global marketplace for jobs is a reality where you're competing on a global level for many of your jobs. And even if you're running your own business, to know how to navigate your business expertly can benefit from astrology skills, and we are debuting that program. So if you want to get your Bazi chart or if you want to learn more about the expert use of Bazi, we have our debut of our Bazi certification, and you can express your interest and get on the waiting list to be the first in line by sending me an email. You can go to our website for the chart, which is www.tauinetwork.com, www.tauinetwork.com, and you can order any of our charts or reports from that website, and you'll also be able to register for our certification course there. But to add yourself to our waiting list, send me an email to sanupara@gmail.com. That's S-A-N as in Nancy, U-P-A, sanupara@gmail.com, and we'll put you at the top of the list for the first round of our Bazi certification. We're very excited. It's days away, and putting your name on that list gets you first in line to be able to go deeper with these, with this great system, and to learn it and apply it to your life and to your professional career. With that, I say thank you so much to Queer Chef Nater and her brother Jawanza for having me on the show, and I look forward to keeping it going.
Brother, I can't wait for next month. Again, this information is so powerful. And again, to the listeners, I say thank you so much for tuning in. Tell somebody about this show. If you like what you're hearing and you have friends and relatives that you feel can benefit from this information, by all means, with them, because, again, we're trying to make this world a better place, and we're trying to be divine, okay? So you heard this information today. Okay, contact Brother Sanupara. See how you can get your chart done. If you haven't had it done, this chart can benefit you. It can benefit your children. It can benefit your loved ones. Okay, all it takes is a phone call. Call them, email them, okay, and let's get started in helping to, you know, make this world better by each of us concentrating and making a divine effort to become divine, making a dedicated commitment to becoming divine. Brother Sanupara, again, I want to say thank you, my brother. To all the listeners, again, I want to let you know, this Thursday, my special guests are going to be Swami Abhipandananda and Sotirvakyan, Michael Perry and Heidi Lindman. They're going to be talking about Kriya. So, by all means, tune in for that. My name is Jawanza. His name is Sanupara. Her name is
Akuya Shepsinter.
And till the next time, peace and blessings. Hetapu.
Hetapu.